I feel like I gave myself an out because we're in 2 Corinthians for so long to say, we're going to reach back. We're going to talk more about when Paul talks about persuading others. We're going to talk more about what does it mean to be in your right mind for you. Everything I wanted to talk more about, we just said, well, we will later. Yeah.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet.
As always, so here on this podcast, we like to open up, just talk about a couple of questions. Recently, we've kind of expanded and said, hey, if you have questions, send us a question. Maybe that works its way in here.
Yeah, we would love you to do that. If questions come up, we want to try to answer them, so send them in.
Yep. So we've got a link that's in the digital program listed on our couple of different places in like the connection group questions email. Love to get some questions from there. So anyways, Jake, we are continuing on with our 2 Corinthians series. Read yesterday, 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 15. Some things that jumped out throughout the message, you highlighted the fact that, you know, we need to be impacted by both the holiness of God and the grace of God, and that produces devotion, rightly. You wrote us a poem to run the race, dwell on God's holiness and grace. love that. And really even too, just talking yesterday about selfishness. No, we're not surprised. Like, we all live our own lives and we're in our own heads, and it's easy to lean into selfishness. But you brought out yesterday from the text, the way out of selfishness is worship. Jake, you did a great job with the text. If you had more time to expand on anything or include something else, what would that be?
Yeah, there's so much packed in. I feel like I gave myself an out because we're in 2 Corinthians for so long to say, we're going to reach back. We're going to talk more about when Paul talks about persuading others. We're going to talk about more about what does it mean to be in your right mind for you, as Paul said. And then, when it talks about Christ died for all, like what does that mean? So, we'll get into that when we talk about being ambassadors for Christ and persuading others and imploring people to be reconciled to God, that we have the ministry of reconciliation, and we'll reach back into Christ died for all, when we get to verse 21 of chapter 5, that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteous of God. So I felt like everything I wanted to talk more about, we just said, well, we will
we'll
later.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sweet.
What about you? Was there things like, oh, I wish you kind of scratched that surface, unpack that more?
I mean, I think even to, we'll get to it here in some other questions because no surprise, I write the questions. Let's talk more about this. But I think even to just like the reality of, you know, we'll get to this here in our next question, but there is a tendency to really lean into the love of God or lean into the fear of God. And like, how do you know when you're, when you've got that wrong? Or how do you know when you're doing it for the wrong reason? Like,
yeah.
You could even be doing the right thing for the wrong reason. But I think a lot of that gets fleshed out in relationship with people, as you know, by God's grace, we're surrounded by community of brothers and sisters, and they see stuff and you're like, hey, have you noticed this? Or I've noticed this. Or let's talk some more about what this looks like in your life. So, yeah, I think, I mean, there is, to be honest, when I look at like up on the screen, I'm like, oh, we've got, you know, 5 verses today. All right. It's like, oh, there's a lot in 5 verses.
It's
like,
a lot.
There's
in five
a lot
verses.
Here. Yeah. So I'm really thankful that we're going through the speed that we are. And even yesterday in Launch Point, was sitting at a table with some people and just hearing the conviction already from somebody of like, I need to grow in my knowledge of God's word for myself, but also so I'm equipped. Like, I know I've got the Spirit, but I don't feel equipped to answer other people's questions or to lean in and press in and share what I know to be true in my life, what God's doing. Like, how do I bring this to other people? So I think there's just some cool things that we'll get to continue to jump in through here.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
That's great. Jake, you said that devotion is stirred up by both the holiness of God and the love of God. So like I just said, how would you counsel somebody struggling with either one of those aspects?
When you say struggling with either one, like struggling to really comprehend one of those or neglect one of those?
Maybe neglecting one or even like, hey, you got the right idea, but you're just, your heart's off. Like,
right.
All of the above.
Yeah, I think we have to feed on what's going to shape us, or what we feed on does shape us. So, who God is and his holiness is revealed to us in scripture.
Yep.
So we need to search the scriptures. We need to take in and read and digest God's word to learn about God and to increase our view of God, to get an accurate view of God. So read your Bible, study the word of God to do that. But also, you know, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Look up, look around.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at how big the galaxy is, that says something. And what it says is God's big. God, yep. He's big. He's powerful. Like, we have to make those conclusions. When you look at, you know, the size of the ocean and you feel small, it's like those things enhance a fear of the Lord in a healthy way. When we understand what they say,
right?
Because Psalm 19 says they say something. Are we listening to what they're saying?
Do you stop at just your feelings, or is it like, no, my feelings are highlighting the fact that there's something true about God?
Or do you just stop at creation and never get to the Creator?
Right.
I mean, you could look at the ocean and be like, man, the ocean's big.
Yeah.
And just stop there.
Romans 1.
Yeah. And instead of, okay, what about the maker of the oceans? What about the maker of the galaxies? You have to get there in your heart to listen to what they're declaring. They're declaring something about God. Not just something about themselves or the stars or the ocean or what. So, we have to look and see God in all of his creation, and especially his word where he's revealed himself to us. So I think those things help us understand the fear of the Lord.
One thing on that too, that I think is an important. So reading the Bible to see God, not just like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, like say, what does scripture say about who God is and what he's done? When we ask those questions, just the Spirit illuminates and opens that. And it's like, okay, you're on the right ball field now.
Yeah.
You're not looking for answers for yourself.
Yeah.
You're looking for me.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And then they continue to come back to the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the apex of God's display of his grace and mercy and his love for us. It's not something you move on to. And I think that's a problem, that Christians have when it comes to both the fear of the Lord and the love of Christ. It's like, I know it and I'm ready to move on. It's like, oh yeah, I know that God's big, or I know that God loves me, but then we just try to move on for that. Increasing, like, cause we said knowing the fear of the Lord is about like appreciating the fear of the Lord, or being controlled by the love of Christ. Like, it's made an impact on us. I think we have to dwell on what we know. I know we know it. Think about it more, ponder it more. Give it, you know, prepare your minds for action. Like, you got to give attention to those truths in a way that's really shaping our lives.
Yeah. One of the things, like, is God sovereign when you're frustrated with your coworker on that project that's behind schedule?
Yeah. The answer is yes.
Yeah. But like, and that applies. So something's been highlighted. I'm feeling a certain way. Why? You know, you start asking the why question, and you can get to, like, I'm either believing a lie or I'm not focusing on what I should actually be focusing on.
Yeah. And there's a thing where you can look at your wife and be like, oh, she's beautiful, and then just kind of move on. Or you can, like, look at your wife, look at her eyes, look at her, like, enjoy your wife or beauty. There's a thing that's like, oh yeah, God's big, God's powerful. And we just, like, mentally move on instead of ponder the size and power and knowledge and holiness of God. Like, take it in to really be shaped by it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So yeah, I think the other thing too there with the, like, if you're leaning into just like the fear, like, it's a good thing to obey God. But if that's all that is, like, you've made it about you. But the same thing, if you're leaning into just the love of God and like, oh, Jesus loves me so much, he died for me, I get to go to heaven when I die. True. But also, like, God is holy and commands your obedience, and you need to kill sin in your life.
Yeah.
So I think that, I'm sure there's some times where in different seasons or in different situations, we can be, you know, shifting or swaying or leaning too far into one, but just God's grace and guiding us back into that. Like, trust me, have both of these things in the right place, I think is super important. Jake, you said one of the ways, the way to care less about what others think of you is to care more about what God thinks of you. What are some, like, triggers or things that should be red flags in our mind that, we need to get our mind right and refocus on God's truth? And then, like, what's ways that you've found successful for yourself or how you've counseled other people in this as well?
I mean, indicators, it's like, you know, when somebody, you know, they're out of a relationship, you know, they broke up with a boyfriend or girlfriend and they just like, I'm so over him. I'm so over her. And it's like, yeah, but you keep talking about them all the time. I don't think you really are. Yeah. You know, I think those kind of where our minds go, where our mouths go are indicators of, hey, that's not that big a deal, but you keep talking about it. You keep stewing over it. You're not sleeping well shows that, hey, there's something's off here. You're giving a lot of weight to something that Paul said in 1 Corinthians should be a small matter.
Yep.
So look at your own emotions and heart to dictate, hey, something's off here. And then to correct it, to have a higher view of God's, word and opinions and promises, you got to have a higher view of God.
Yep.
The reason that, you know, you have such a high view of whatever that person said about you is because you really care what that person thinks. So to care more about what God thinks, you have to just have a bigger view of God, to give his words more weight in your life. Mm-hmm. You have to have a closer relationship with God. You commune with him. You have to have a clear aim to please him. Paul talked about in our text ahead of time. So it's like, okay, my life is clearly about pleasing God and not pleasing people.
Yeah.
So it might be coming back to, redefining what life is about, who life is about, and strengthening your view and size of God so that you care more about what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the one of the last things I wrote down yesterday in my notes is just that God commands our emotions by first commanding our thoughts, which is, it's kind of like that, you know, in a culture that's in touch with the feelings and just a lot of the self-care, and that's not to say that we should not take care of ourselves, mm-hmm. what God has given us to steward. Like, don't just go eat a terrible diet and veg out and do nothing with your life. But the point of life isn't to glorify yourself as this temple of human perfection.
And I think we're often too passive when it comes to our feelings. We're going to feel what we feel. And for me to be authentic is to embrace all the feelings that I have. It's like, no, our hearts will lead us astray. Yeah. It can't be trusted. And there's negative feelings that we have. And we have to take the thoughts captive that are leading to those negative feelings, set our minds on the things above.
Yeah.
Those will lead to different feelings. So we shouldn't be so passive when it comes to our thoughts or our feelings, but proactive in the thoughts that we think and the feelings they produce.
Yeah. That was, not that long ago, you know, talking about the fact that, it was in James, right? So that sin, why am I drawing a blank? I need to flip
James
the passage.
What?
It's towards the end of James where it's just talking about the temptation.
Why do we fight and quarrel?
Yeah.
It's because of the passions that wage war.
Right.
Yeah.
And just even that where it's like, it is not sin to be tempted, but it's taking action on that. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're dwelling.
Yeah.
You're dwelling on the temptations.
It gives birth to sin. Yeah.
So when you have a temptation or when you have a negative your emotions are tempting you towards acting a certain way, that's a gift of God to be able to something's off. Mm. I need to refocus and shift off of this. This is not the way I should be thinking. This is what is true. I've told myself a story or a lie. Let's get back.
Yeah.
We can take the temptation and jump to worship instead of temptation, sin, repentance, restoration, and then worship. Those temptations or those negative emotions, it's a call to worship. It's an invitation of direct your gaze to Christ.
Yeah.
Get your eyes off of yourself. That's good. I love how, just the main kind of thing that stuck with me yesterday was really the way out of selfishness is worship. And then also your poem, to run the race, dwell on God's holiness and grace. Yeah.
I have to send Johnny that poem. She's her dad. No, that's where she gets her poetry from, her dad, obviously.
Will she grade it? Or just send back a laughing, crying emoji?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. This is, we do have, I think this is our second listener question. Somebody wrote in yesterday, or not yesterday, last week. It was, I think we had just finished recording the podcast and the question came in. But so this was last week, and we frequently do this. And I think, I mean, anytime you're preaching, you call out words. If we're good students of God's word, we're noticing things in the text. But here's what the question said. Jake, the other week you had us underline or highlight multiple key words that really changed my perspective on the passage and gave me a deeper understanding of what scripture was saying. Do you have any tips on how to see those words when I'm reading at home? I often feel like I read right over them, not realizing how influential they are. Is this what people are referring to when they talk about a root word study?
A root word study is you're going to go look at where is that word at throughout scripture? What does that word mean? How is it
back
used?
Back to like the original, like yeah, Greek,
so
Hebrew.
That's not doing a word study.
Yep.
But I think we can learn to be better readers of the Bible, read slower. Take smaller chunks. And one practical help is little words make big differences. Notice conjunctions and prepositions and like old English class, diagram a sentence. It just brings out the meaning. So words like but and so that, because, therefore, all of those just really bring to the surface the meaning of the text. So, I would say, no, look for those little words and they matter.
I think the other, all of that too, repetition, right? Like if the word is repeated or it's used here one way and used here another way, it's like, okay, is there contrast?
And then especially within the same letter, how has Paul been using that throughout this letter?
Yeah. Yep. The other thing too, that I'm thankful for technology, like the YouVersion app.
Yeah.
You know, like you can sign up for the scripture of the day. What I hate about the scripture of the day is that it can help us be lazy readers.
Sure.
We can memorize verses out of context. So a lot of times when we're reading stuff, it's like, oh, what came right before this? Is there a question? I'm confused on something here. Is there something that comes three or four verses later that kind of explains and highlights more and gives some,
Yeah. So right off in our text, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what you could start, okay, therefore, what's it there for? You're asking questions. What's the connection? Knowing what? Fear of what? The Lord. Like it's just the simple stuff that we might conclude so quickly when we read it, but to slow down and actually, what is this word referring to? What is that pointing to? What's the connection? When you take smaller chunks, you can read like that better.
Yeah. And
sometimes when you read the Bible, you're just like, I'm reading to get through the Bible. And there's benefit to that. I want to understand.
Familiar reading.
Yes. Yeah. I want to understand the complete narrative. I want to get it. And then there's other times where it's like, I just need to take a few verses and really slow down and say what's being said here. The simple one for the question is, look at the small words that make a big deal.
Yeah. There's like things like, John Piper has the look at the book where he takes it's like John Madden, diagramming stuff. Like I mean, he's telestrating and drawing, like we can do, like it's, you can do that. You can print out scripture, print it out like on a page and you can highlight words. You can circle stuff, ask questions of the text.
Yeah.
Like what does this, why does it say this word? This is a weird word. Why is it here?
Right. There's probably a YouTube video on or something, or maybe you remember from English class, learn how to diagram sentences and then do that in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
Yeah. That's sweet. Also, shameless plug. We do have a biblical literacy class that we offer about once a year.
Yeah.
I think we might have that either coming up next spring or in the fall.
Great.
That's a great, we have some practical tools that we talk through and, similar to all of this, but also give time to study and look through that. So,
Great. Yeah,
sweet. Great question there. If you have a question or you'd like us to address something here on this podcast, we do have a form that's linked on our digital program or in the Connection Group questions email. We'd love to get some more questions and have some time to talk through those. Jake, thanks for joining us this morning.
Let's run
the race and dwell on God's holiness and grace. I'm just going to keep saying it. Just going to shamelessly keep saying it all week. Love you guys. Bye.